Where is Hosni Mubarak? That remains the subject of a lot of speculation, with some reports suggesting he remains at his villa in the Red Sea resort of Sharm el-Sheikh, and others that he may have sought medical treatment abroad. But in the meantime, what do people in his hometown make of his sudden fall from power? The BBC's correspondent Paul Adams has been to the birth town of Mubarak in the town of Kafr el-Masala in the Nile Delta, about 60 miles north of Cairo.
It's a town like any other in the Delta, except that its most famous son has fallen from grace. What do the people of Kafr el-Masalha make of Hosni Mubarak's ignominious exit? As we make our way towards the family home, Sami Abdul Hafiz draws up on his motorbike and launches right in.
Everyone has a history that honors them or a history that dishonors them. And he didn't like where he came from. So he felt it was a mark of shame. That's why he never admitted where he came from. And because of that, the people here don't have a bond. They don't feel a kinship to him. They feel that he disowned them.
A debate follows about where exactly the former president lived. But then we turn a grubby corner and we've arrived. So this is the street, or the alleyway, where the Mubarak home used to be. Two houses here now where there used to be one. People seem only too happy to show us, but there doesn't seem to be any love lost between this town and its most famous son. With small children now swarming and cups of hot, sweet tea suddenly appearing, our lively discussion of the president's legacy continues. Ashraf, a science teacher, is delighted at what's happened. Egyptians, he tells me, have regained their dignity.
Definitely, Egypt's going to get better and better and better. And even if someone comes who wants to be as bad or worse than Mubarak, Tahrir Square is there. We'll get rid of him.
But in this place of traditional values, there's also a sense that Egypt, far from showing its better face, has somehow dishonored itself. Another teacher, Ahmed, is happy at the prospect of change, but not the manner of the president's departure.
He was a very good man. He's a man of war. He is we love him very, very, very much. And we want to sacrifice ourselves for him.
Are you sad today about what has happened to him?
Yes, I said about the appearance that happened to him. They wanted to hang him. This is our president, our leader.
Do you want to bring him back?
For me? I wish.
And it's that nagging sense of shame and the suspicion that foreigners have come to exploit it that eventually persuades some here that we're not welcome. Well, perhaps inevitably we've had to leave town. We were just lingering by a cracked picture of Hosni Mubarak when we found ourselves surrounded by a group of men who clearly felt that what we were doing there was very disrespectful to the former president. They demanded our videotape. There was a bit of angry conversation, and then they sent us on our way. Our route took us out along Mubarak Road. The man may be gone, but he leaves a swirling mix of conflicting emotions in his wake.
That was Paul Adams from our partner, the BBC.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at the New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.